This Saturday, I was worshiping to a song, "Here's My Heart, Lord, Speak What Is True." It's a song that David Crowder wrote, and I love that song. "Here's My Heart, Lord, Speak What Is True." I'm going to speak what is true. I'm going to speak what Scripture says. And some of us in this room have a hard time with this because some of us may have had abortions or had family members had abortion. Please, get to know me. I speak passionately because I believe God's word to be true. In no way, shape, or form, as I proclaim the truth with passion, am I trying to downgrade you or make you feel less of a human? None of that. But as I teach what God's word says, that's what I believe. And I will fight for what God's word says. So I say that Genesis 1:26 says, let us make God in our image after our own likeness. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. I wrote God, I meant man. Let us make man in our image after our own likeness. If you hate slavery, why does this become passionate for me? Abortion. That's what we're talking about. Why is abortion something I'm passionate against? Because when I was younger, I was passionate, angry that slavery happened, that it took place. I wasn't angry because it happened all over the place at just everyone in society. I was angry that where were the ministers? Where were God's people who claimed this to be true? Where were they? And there were many that fought and many that said, so I'm not condemning all that. I'm just saying in me said, I want to be a person in the midst of something that is tragically wrong, that believes this wholeheartedly, that fights for something that this says is wrong. So don't misread my passion. My passion was, if that happens in my time, I'm going to stand up. Put me in prison. That's how I feel about this issue. Let us make man in our own image. Imago Dei. That's why slavery was always wrong. That's why any of this is wrong. So if you don't know the history, President Ronald Reagan issued a presidential proclamation on January 13th, 1984, designating Sunday, January 22nd. What's today? 22nd. 1984. What? Oh, never mind. 20th. So we celebrate it. I have lots of flaws. You'll figure that out soon enough. As National Sanctity of Human Life Day, we had deep conviction to do so due to what he noticed. He noticed that it was the 11th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, in which the Supreme Court issued a ruling that guaranteed women access to abortion. President Reagan was a strong pro-life advocate who said that Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court, struck down the laws protecting the lives of the unborn children. So to be clear, this isn't politics. I don't get political from a pulpit. If you want to talk about politics, come talk to me. From a pulpit, I'm not doing it. My job is to proclaim God's truth. And wherever that lands is where it lands, in your heart. But I will die standing for what I believe is clearly biblically wrong. So with that said, when I was in East Texas, I got tired of talking about it. I found some people that were passionate about doing something about it, so I sat on a board of a maternity home. And I also launched a new maternity home and sat on the inaugural board of that maternity home to launch beds for individuals who were in the situation of what do I do with this, because I wanted to promote adoption. If you don't know, we couldn't have kids for 6 years, and I didn't want to just like beat down the doors of people. It's like, well, what am I doing? What can I do about this? So I sat on a board and I helped launch the whole beginning of it, Mercy Manor, that became an awesome ministry for our church in that place, and it's grown so much more from since then. But the thing why I'm saying that is in our hearts we have to say, what are we going to do about this? But I want to start with this. We've been silenced on the issue. I mean, this is the political world we live in is still silenced. And we're going to talk again in the book of Acts, and we're going to keep talking through the book of Acts, that we are not to water down God's word. We are not to water down the gospel. God will, today, ruin my sermon, release them from prison. An angel says, go back to the temple, the very worst place you should ever go back to proclaim the truth. They're meeting in houses. And yet he says, go back to the temple and proclaim his truth. Don't water it down. Tell the truth. So, what does God's word say about the matter? Let me say this. If you're a believer, you're all adopted. Know that? It's a biblical truth. You are all adopted by the Heavenly Father. Ephesians 1:5. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. It was his will to adopt you. Who's your father? Jesus is. God is. Paul says it this way, Romans 8:14 through 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you who received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. That's who you are. That's who I am. What does God's word say about the unborn? Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you, before I, God, formed you, meaning no conception yet, meaning predestined. I knew you before you were even thought of, before it ever happened. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Before I formed you in the womb. Who formed you? God. And God knows you before I formed you. Hear that? Psalm 139, 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You. Who's you talking to? God. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. Woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet they were none of them. And Psalms 123. Have mercy upon us, O God, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Do this with me. Do me a favor. If you don't have a Bible, if you do have a Bible, open it to Luke 18. We're going to read a few verses as we go into a time of worship. Because I believe the thing I want to preach on is this is, you can't get away from Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You can't. You just can't. For you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You can't get away from what the Bible teaches about this. So as I say in Psalm 123, have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. I ask you to look at Luke 18, verse 35 through 43. 35 through 43. Verse 35 says this, Luke 18. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside, begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this means. They said to him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. Pausing. Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. We are blinded on this issue. We are politically blinded on this issue. We are self-consumed on this issue. When you read the arguments, we're self-consumed on this issue. We need less people. People talk positively about what's happening in China. We're going to pick the sex of the people. We're going to start picking the colors. We're going to make man in our image. Our image, what we want, not God's design. You hear these things happening? We are blind. We are self-consumed. We are political. We are unclear about what God teaches in our times. And I don't know how to change that without God's people saying, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is not of God's will. This is not God's plan. This is, if I was to be honest with you, the greatest tragedy in your time. 1 million babies a year. Because the argument of the minute of 1%, why, what if they get raped and that happens? Yes, that happens. 1%, so now we allow 99%? You hear that? Can I say this? I'm just going to say this to you honestly. This is not of God. This is not a political issue. This is, what does God's word say? And what should we stand for as God's people? So when I think of today, when I think of a celebration of today, I think of as God's people, how do we embrace this? First, we say, God, are we blinded to this issue? Because friends we know, people we know, our politics, what does God's word say? Right? I'm not here to tell you what I think. I'm here to tell you what God's word says. And I don't just get passionate because I get passionate. I do get passionate. But if God's word says something different, then I'm going to be passionate for that. Amen? God's word is against this. And I am not one standing before you saying, hey, beat down the door, people. I'm saying, do something about it. First, it starts with speaking the truth. We can all do that. What does God's word say? This is where the Christian should stand on this issue, biblically. It may not be popular, may not grow a church. I don't really care. I have to speak truth, and that's all God's business. This is what God's word says. This is where we stand biblically. Amen? Read it for yourself. I'll send you passages. I'd be happy to, because you're not going to find the reverse. You're not going to find the reverse of this. And we're about to sing a song that is related to, you are the way, the truth, and the life. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life. And we believe that, we follow that. We put our hearts in your hands, God. Change us. So folks, I say to you, as we go into a time of worship, as we end and conclude this part of today, my heart, as I was thinking of this day, is God, have mercy on us. God, have mercy on me to not be afraid. Just like I share the gospel, help me not to be afraid to share the truth with those who disagree with me. May we not be afraid to say what we believe and talk about what God says. In love. In love. Amen? So folks, we have a part in our society. We have a part in these issues. And it's not just to vote. It's, what do you believe? What do you speak? How do you love? Are you compassionate? Maybe God's going to put you across a young woman that's in that place, that situation. And you're like, man, don't do this. I will help you. I'll support you. That's what the maternity home was for. Because there's people like me who couldn't have kids for 6 years that would have loved to have a child. Adoption needs to grow in our country, not abortion. And I, sitting on a board of a maternity home, the government has made it impossible to fund adoption. It's made it absolutely easy to abort. There's almost no funding for adoption. At the time we started that home, there was only one other home in Louisiana that would bring in younger than 17 young ladies. And that was the passion of our ministry, was we're going to bring in high school girls, bring them in, and teach them and train them. And if they want to raise this child, great. We want to educate you. We want to help you with the finances of the medical stuff. We want to help you, even if you know you can't do this. Let's adopt. Let's meet this family. Let's bring in a family that desperately wants a child. That's where my passion lies. Amen? I'm going to pray. I know some of you are like, oh, I'm never coming back. Well, I argue with you, what does God's word say? I'm not here to tell you what I say. He said, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you, in the womb I knew you. And before you were born, I appointed you, I consecrated you, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Amen? How many people did God have a purpose for, but this happened. And if you say overpopulation, can I tell you, we have a God that has billions of galaxies. Billions and billions of galaxies. Overpopulated to whom? Let me pray. Father, I love you. I know there's some hearts in this room. Some folks may have walked in here having had an abortion, God, and I pray that they did not hear any of what I said to say they're bad people or you hate them, you don't love them. That is not true. But God, I pray with all the vigor in my heart that we did hear. We have an issue in our time that's clear biblically. And it doesn't matter our politics. Doesn't matter any of that. What does your word say, God? And I pray that we would study and diligently think through your lenses, God, about what the issues are in our time. That we would be passionate about you made us in your image. And God, we know that you made us in our mother's womb. You have had the plans for us and the design for us. Every one of us standing here with a different fingerprint because you had a purposeful, unique design for us. You, God, our designer. And I pray that as we think of children and mother's wombs, that God, we would be passionate and be willing to say this is not what God's word says, but also be willing to say we will help somebody make the right decision, even if that means we have to help them. Lord, we love you. May we be passionate. May we cry for mercy. May we cry for you to open the blind eyes. God, I believe if the believers would stand in accord on what your word says, God, there would be a voice in our country. And so, God, I pray that we would be the voice. At least for as far as this church, we would be the voice. We love you.